At this time, since we're still inviting staff and the budget, Sean Griffin, you want to come up and do your staff reports?
Thank you, Commissioners. Real quickly, I just want to say how much we appreciate your support for our Night to Imagine event. It was our sixth event, our most successful ever. We had 25 media budget and ticket sponsors, had about 230 people there. Great concert by Susie Boggess, our most successful event to date. We're already planning next year's event, and it was it filled hotel rooms, filled restaurants, it filled bars. It really helped the community, and it really helped us, and it was a wonderful night. So thank you so much for supporting us.
Thank you. Thanks for all the work you do, and what a great, entertaining event that was that night. So we really enjoyed it, the Kenyon also. And Mr. Gallagher?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Clerk Treasurer Vanessa Stevens.
All right, my first one is the clerk treasurer's budget. We are over, it's at 88% in equipment maintenance. That's for our prepaid annual contracts for our equipment, for our imaging equipment. Our bank charges are over by 106%. This will be corrected. The cost to print the tax bills is included in there because Wells Fargo includes it in our bank fees, so we'll break that out and move it over to professional services. And records management is up because of the audit from the state and us having to pull all those files and scan them. So, under district court, equipment maintenance is up there too. That's for the contract for the JAS system here in this room. We've corrected that for next year's budget to allow for it. PSIs are up. Those are prepaid. And the other big one that's up is the juvenile detention. And it's at 396%, and that's just one that it's hard to predict what kids are going to get locked up and for how long. And this year we've had kind of a run, so hopefully that comes back down. And then for the drug court fees, that one's up at 93%. This is a pass-through account that the court collects and then send on to Carson City, so the revenues are actually higher this year, which makes the expense look higher. And that's all I have.
Are you currently pursuing another JAV system?
We're going to upgrade the JAV system next year is the plan.
The thing is what bothers me is that JAV system is only 4 years old, and now it's outdated, and that doesn't separate.
Yeah, it's the software that outdates, and then we're improving the cameras and the microphones, and it'll give us the ability to do live streaming of our meetings. So,
do you have to buy one from scratch, or can you have this one upgraded?
They'll upgrade the one that exists, so they don't have to rerun the cables or wires or any of that.
Okay. Thanks, Vanessa.
Thank you, Vanessa. Mike Nevin?
Yeah, it's still morning. Good morning. We'll start buildings and grounds, and we discussed these last time as well. We're at 75% of the budget year, and we're tracking the 74% of expenditures. The two main ones are over, and that be telephone, and we discovered some inconsistencies, as you recall, with billings from AT&T and Jesse and Chris in Pat's office were looking into some resolve to that, so I think we're on track to get those in check. And a portion of this overage in the telephone and buildings and grounds was attributed to the Fuel Master system out in Lockwood. Those charges were taken from this line item in buildings and grounds. So. The other big one, of course, that's over is the tenant improvements that were done at the McCarran facility, commonly referred to as Station 5. And those were our portion of costs for materials and or outside contract labor for things such as the sheetrock, the drop-in paneling and the ceiling, the staining of the flooring, and the upgrades required for the SuperNap switch folks. They probably at least matched what we put in the overage is about $38,000. We're pretty much done out there now. That work is completed. A switch should be occupying their section out there. We've heard possibly this week. I can't verify that one way or the other. So, and those are, you know, our tenants out there that we have Yates Construction, you know, with a small area. Well, it's not a small area. It's a pretty good sized area. The switch, and of course, all those tenants' improvements that they've done in there, they anticipate leaving behind. So they've done an excellent job, and I think it's a, you know, pretty much turned into a showcase of a facility out there as big as it was, and we finally got it divided now into some usable, workable space for folks, including our own county people, specifically Joe's emergency management folks. So he just recently held a seminar out there, and it was attended by people from all over Western Nevada. I think he had about 66 folks in the large training area that we completed there. So these were not anticipated, of course, at the beginning of the fiscal year, but, you know, as things change and progress occurs, you got to deal with it. So, and then the last part of that we just completed Friday was the restriping of the front parking lot. So it's all been redone, and it turned out real nice. So. That's all in buildings and grounds. The other thing I might mention in buildings and grounds, and we'll see it probably go over, is the gas and diesel, and that's for the two vehicles that are used by the staff. And, of course, there's been a lot of travel back and forth to that CRI facility by both the individuals from the maintenance and custodial staff to get these tenant improvements completed. Moving along into swimming pool, we have no overages anywhere. Of course, the swimming pool is a seasonal operation. We're at 75% of the budget year, and we're tracking 46% in expenditures. We'll begin to pick up some additional expenses in the month of June, of course, May and June, as we get the swimming pool ready for operations and higher staffing. Service, again, telephone is up, and that's due to the cost of replacing a couple of the smartphones that are used by the shop folks up there that weren't anticipated. And, of course, the data plan that goes along with those. So right now we're at 87% in the telephone. The gas and diesel, that's the pass-through, and that account is now back in check with some of the GLs that were made. I think we were over last time, so we're actually under by 21%. So that's tracking as it should be. And the departments that utilize the fuel are billed appropriately. So at 75% of the budget year completed, we're tracking 62% in expenditures in the service function. Roads. Revenues, we're tracking, again, we're at 75% of the year, and we're on the plus side of about 29% in revenues in roads, which is a good thing. That's primarily due to the fact that we received the contribution for the street sweeper from a negotiation with NDEP and CMI. So that reflects in that miscellaneous other, and also reflected in there, recall last year prior to getting involved with the Divide Reservoir Rehabilitation Project. We had 50 years of scrap material that had been collected and built up and dumped off up there, and that stuff was all hauled off and turned into cash for scrap material. So that was the other big portion of that. On the expense side, medical physicals are over, and that's primarily due to the fact that we're under the DOT requirements and regulations for random screening for drug testing for our commercial operators as far as CDLs. And this expense used to be covered out of administrative, and now it's been appropriated to the various departments that utilize that function. So these are expenses that we are obligated to through the federal requirement for the drug screening. Overall, in roads, again, we're at 75% of the budget year, and we're tracking at 61% in expenditures. Water. On the revenue side, we're tracking about 12% over in revenue, which is a good thing. There's one item, and I discussed this a little bit yesterday with Hugh, and it's probably inappropriately labeled, but has been labeled this for as long as I can remember. That's what they call a water study surcharge, and basically what that is the $7 water cap fee that's associated with the USDA loan repayments on the treatment plant. So we're tracking a little bit under there. And according to Susan, I guess that's to be expected, but we'll take a look at that. Some of the other areas that we're over in is on telephone, and you'll recall that we received some grant funds to purchase iPads for the operators, and so the data plan goes along with that. We pay a monthly fee for the iPads so the operators have access to the information on the SCADA systems 24/7, 365, because they can carry this unit with them. So we're tracking at 94%, so that'll be a little bit over at the end of the fourth quarter. Auto maintenance, I mentioned last time that we were required to replace a transmission in one of the older vehicles used by one of our operators to keep that vehicle serviceable, so that's why the overage there, that line item is running at about 225%. We don't anticipate any additional large items to hit us in the auto maintenance section. Permits are running 110%. It seems like every time we turn around, the state is hitting us up for yet the requirement to get an additional permit for something or other. So, and those fees, of course, have gone up, and we've made those adjustments in the next fiscal year budget to accommodate for those increases. And there's nothing we can do about those. Professional services. Up a little bit, and part of that is due to the fact that we are required to pay our portion of the Douglas County contract that is utilized, so water and sewer split that $5,000 between the two of them, so split 50% between both those functions. Water on the expense side, again, 75% of the budget year. on the expense side, we're tracking at 53%. And we try to, again, you know, if we don't need to spend it, we do not. It just helps build some cash into our reserves. Sewer. We're tracking at 75% again, and revenues are tracking to meet that 75%, so we're on target there. On the expense side, operating supplies are up a bit. With the new plant, we've added a new processing down there to handle the biosolids, if you will. So there's a piece of equipment that requires a polymer be added into the processing. It's mixed with water, and it compresses the sludge into what a biomass type product that eventually is dried and then hauled off. So there's some additional chemical or operating involved with that. Again, the professional services, that's part of that GIS Douglas County contract, and our portion between water and sewer is split in half, and we had not, again, budgeted for that $2,500 between these two enterprise funds at the beginning of the fiscal year. Have since made that correction for next year. Let's see, capital outlay, we're over 266%, and that's attributed to the purchase of a new backhoe that was shared between water, sewer, and roads, and so that reflects there. Interest expense is over, and that's primarily due to the interim financing that was completed on behalf of the sewer phase one project from Wells Fargo. And so that one is done. Overall in sewer, we're at 75% again of the year, and we're tracking exactly as we do in water at 53% in the expenditure side. So, you know, should give us a little more of an ending fund balance cushion at the end and beginning of the next fiscal.
Anything else?
Any questions?
You're saying the sewer says that 75%. Is that everything but the new phase one sewer plant? Or is any part of that part of the phase one?
I'm not sure I'm understanding your question, Commissioner Gupp.
You're at 75%, so the money spent.
No, we're 75% of the year income, three quarters.
We're three quarters into the fiscal year, so that's 75% of the 100.
We're 53% of expenditures compared to the water.
Both water and sewer are tracking exactly the same.
Mike, sure. In roads, we've got about, right now we've got about $475,000 left in road improvements for either BC, Gold Hill, wherever. Do we have a...
Yeah, in fact, I was going to mention that in staff here coming up.
Since the weather is nice.
Recall last time I've been speaking about a project that we've been taking a look at, and we're a little bit further into the process now. We've identified portions of roadways within the four areas of the county. It equates to just a little over 16 miles or so. What we'd like to do is a chip seal process. It's a chip and then a seal over the top of that. It'll give us some extra added life, as much up from 10 to 12 years on some of our paved surfaces. So we've taken a look at the four areas, and then in the first run of this, and this will be a continual type program that, you know, we hope to fund in additional fiscal years as well. But right now we're looking at completing all of Waltham Way in the Tahoe Reno Industrial Park, which is the worst road out there. That's just under a five-mile stretch. The estimate for completing that portion is $494,000 and some change. We have $500,000 available via the infrastructure fund, and this was an identified project that we can tap into for that portion. We have a remaining estimate to do the first mile of Cartwright, which is county responsibility, and all of Lousetown Road, which is an additional 5.83 miles from the fire station in the Highlands to State Route 341 on the south end. So that's roughly just under 7 miles. The costs are coming in for the project at about $75,000 a mile, which actually is a little bit under what I had thought they would be, at about $105,000. So, you know, we're looking in the Highlands to spend $525,000. So if you took that $525,000 and you divided it by 10 years, you know, it's a considerable chunk of change. So that'll provide a good top coat to those surfaces out in the Highlands that are asphalt. In Mark Twain Estates, I anticipating doing all of Sam Clemens, which is the major artery in the Mark Twain Estates, on the first go-around, and that's 1.2 miles or so. So, you know, a little over $75,000 figured in for that. The remaining would be on about 3 miles of road here in Virginia City that would include all of B Street, all of D Street, D Street from the Fourth Ward School to the tie-in on the north end, 341, all of Stewart Street, all of Taylor Street, down to I Street, all of Washington Street, all of R Street, all of Union Street, and all of Carson Street. And then the interties, the couple of block interties all along that route between B and C that intersect the two and going across C, not including the state highway, naturally. So we've got a specification put together. We're in the process of preparing a bid document. This, of course, will be a public works project, so we'll get a number assigned. I've had Far West Engineering helping out with this as well. One of their staff members used to work for the RTC in Reno, Greg Lyman, so he's been some assistance to me. Also, the folks at Washoe County have basically bent over backwards and pretty much helped us write the specification for the project. So it's just a time, whether or not we're going to be able to do it this fiscal year, I'm not 100% positive. I'd like to try to at least do some of the outlying areas. The Virginia City section will probably be the last section of that that we'll complete, and we'll, of course, work around, you know, our months of tourism that are coming, or here now, actually. So we might hold off on doing that until later on, after, you know, street vibrations are over with, so we don't affect, you know, the movement of traffic in and around town here. but these are projects that do need to be done, and they'll, like I say, buy us, you know, an additional 10 to 12 years by putting the top overlay on the existing surfaces. So, and it's the most cost-effective, you know, other than going in and resurfacing or grind and mill, and then you're getting into some big, huge dollars. So, and the folks that we've been dealing with have done this sort of work agree with our methodology and the way we anticipate getting this accomplished. I'd like to be able to do everything we have all in one fell swoop, but there's just not the funding to do that. We have, you know, roughly 80 miles of road system, mileage-wise, that we're responsible for countywide. So just biting off the first chunk and then moving forward from that point. So does that answer your question, Hugh? It's probably a little bit more in-depth than you wanted to hear, but I wanted to get it out there for everybody to be aware of. It is a, you know, it's a pretty good project. So while I'm up here, I'll take advantage of my time from staff. You'll recall that we did purchase a new street sweeper and took delivery of the unit back in December, and actually didn't have a chance to get it out and operational until, well, about a month later. And we had some issues. We didn't know whether it was a problem, you know, on the international side, the chassis with the engine, transmission, which has an Allison transmission, torque converter issue. We've been working with the team from Owen Equipment Company, who we purchased the unit from out of Fairfield, California. They've sent their staff over here on several occasions, and just 2 weeks ago we had a engineer from Elgin that came out, spent a week with us. He's got 27 years experience, and basically what they found out was the engine is pretty much underpowered for what it should have been designed for. You know, we're trying to sweep at 62 plus feet in elevation, and these units, you know, are spec'd at sea level, you know, functionality. So the horsepower of the engine was far exceeding, you know, what was required to run all the sweeper functions. So the fix is, and this is good news to the county, they're going to build us a brand new unit with a dual engine setup at no cost to Story County. Net cost is zero. And they provided a loaner unit at no fee to utilize until such time as we receive the new sweeper. And that'll resolve the issues that we've been having. So if we were going to go out and inspect that unit today and buy it, we're probably, you know, on the plus side, about $50,000. We're guessing. So it's good that, you know, you get companies that have been in business forever building this type of equipment, and their distributors that are willing to come to the plate and stand up and make it right for the end user. So we're moving forward on that. Pat made mention earlier in the meeting that we've been down at some of us at the recently completed treatment plant, sewer treatment plant, the last couple of weeks. Yesterday we had an excellent opportunity to meet an individual that came for the clean water celebration that actually was primarily focused on the Dayton Lyon County project. But later on in the afternoon he had some time available, and the folks from the state office here in Nevada, including Cheryl Couch and Sarah Adler, brought the gentleman up, and we had a couple hours that we spent with him. His name is Kent Evans, and Kent works out of the Washington, D.C. office. He's the National Water Programs Manager, so he's about third down on the pecking order, and he basically decides how the USDA funding for water and wastewater will be spent on a national level. And so we, of course, had the opportunity to explain to him our needs to complete the wastewater additional four phases, and then some also identified projects on the water side, and we had an opportunity to actually take him on a tour, and was able to take him out to the 5 Mile Reservoir and show him some of the 1878 vintage line that is used to transport water from that location into town here. So right now with the medium household income in Virginia City, Gold Hill, and portions of Silver City, because of course the water system services Silver, we would be eligible for up to 75% grant funding at just a bit over 2% interest on the 25% match that we would have to find. So, you know, we've been kind of putting our heads together, and through the fine folks at the USDA office in Carson City under Cheryl Couch's direction, we're going to move forward and explore some funding possibilities. So as this progresses, we'll have updates for you as we move along. So that was a good thing. Actually got to do a little socializing with that group as well. Commissioner McBride accompanied us, and bought us a couple of beers after we were all done and the afternoon was over with. So thank you, Marshall, for that. Not to take up a lot of time here, but another important mention is, of course, the fact that we haven't seen any significant snowfall in Nevada, and especially, you know, our portion of western Nevada in the last 4 years. We're in the fourth year of drought. The Marlette Lake Coordinating Committee met last week in Carson City, and they are basically, you know, the operational staff from the Marlette system, Carson City Water Public Works, and Story County Public Works. And we kind of met and grouped, and we try to meet twice annually at a minimum, and that was in the back of everyone's mind. Marlette Lake this year, it's only rose in elevation about a foot over the completed pumping operations last fall, where last year at this time it was spilling probably about a tenth over at the dam, and this year it is not. There was some indication that they may not be able to pump Marlette this year due to the fact that, you know, the water level isn't what it should be. And another concern is the spawning of the rainbow trout that can't get up the ladder into the creeks on the south side of the lake there. The Endow requirement to not bring that lake level to within 3 feet of below spill is just a recommendation, so they're going to move forward and pump it as they have, you know, in past drought situations. So the other thing is they're moving forward with some improvements on the catchment side, and that's basically where most of the Comstock water comes from, is along the eastern slopes. For those of us that have been up there and had an opportunity to visit those sites, you'll recall how that flows in and then comes into the pipeline and meets the point at Diversion Dam with the waters that come down Hobart Creek from the Hobart Reservoir. So they're going to improve catchments 3, 4, and 5 this year. Hope to capture an additional 300 gallons a minute, which is now going subterranean and underneath those catchments. So that's a good thing. They can get in there now and work at those locations because those flows in those particular three areas that I made mention of, flows are basically stopped, so they can get in there and do this work and then capture that water. And that'll help tremendously as the summer progresses and of course, into the fall. But, you know, we're going to urge everybody to be cognizant and to, you know, consider voluntary conservation measures. And they're simple things, basically. You know, if you don't have to hose a sidewalk off or a driveway, don't do so. Use a broom or a blower. If you don't have to wash a vehicle, you know, don't do so. Wait till you go to town and maybe run through one of the car washes that recycles that water. Cutting back a couple of minutes on sprinkler timers saves a considerable amount. And we'll be putting a little press release together, and we hope to get some media involvement and maybe give us a hand to get the word out. It's just, you know, doing our part to conserve, you know, although we're in pretty good shape, but, you know, the more we can do, the better off we are as the season progresses, especially if we don't get some rainfall coming up between now and the time we're supposed to get snow, usually in October. So, and that's where we sit. Any other questions for me, I'd be happy to answer. Won't take up any more of your time. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if you may hit pause on this joint discussion of items 10 and 11 before our comptroller continues on, I'd ask that you consider item 15, which is approval of accounts payable for April 3rd, 2015. We will have a quorum issue on this matter when Commissioner Gilman needs to leave for an important meeting. And the reason for that is our quarterly payment, I believe either to the Bucket of Blood or the McBride Family Trust, I'm not sure who the payee is, but a quarterly payment on the parking lot next door is included in this batch. That's why it was separated from item 4 in the consent agenda.
Very good. There's no objection from fellow commissioners. We'll go ahead and pause on 10 and 11, move on to item number 15. Possible action to approve the accounts payable dated April 3rd, 2015. In the amount of $473,689.26 and for $7,007.62.
I think I've
introduced a motion for approval.
I move to approve the accounts payable dated April 3rd, 2015 in the amount of $473,689.26 and $7,007.62.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, it's been moved and second to approve these. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
No, public comment.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah.
Marty?
Yes.
So, should I be doing that? Isn't that why we're taking this out of turn?
I'm going to abstain from the one item.
Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Phillips, you have a question?
Thank you. Well, I was going.
Throwing the hammer down on me.
Yeah.
Ms. Phillips.
Yeah, I'm Mark Joseph Phillips, a Story County resident. Speaking to item item number 15. This is discussion before the approval of accounts payable. We're having this discussion because our chairman has recused himself because of interest his family has in the parking lot next door, I guess. We've had this conversation before, Chairman McBride, about your family's holdings and real estate and, you know, your family trust stuff, which in the past you haven't disclosed on your annual financial statements. I went to look at this year's statement, and I'm just hoping that you have decided Well, every 3 months you recuse yourself, but look at your paperwork with the state, and there's been no indication that you have such holdings. So I'll go look at the website and... okay, there was one claim here that seemed... Right, it's under D, Eggenberger, Dan Eggenberger family. Well, it's the district attorney and sheriff's office building. It's a 25,000 dollar claim. I'm a little confused. I thought these buildings had been purchased already. So I guess I got to go check with the county recorder and see.
Installment payment.
Pardon?
Installment payment.
Oh, well, okay. Well, county. Well, you say the county buys property. I assume they bought it, and then I find out later it's just an agreement to buy it for learning. Last time I went to the recorder's office, this property showed up as a vacant lot, so I'll get back to you on that one. Okay.
Thank you.
So, Ben's view should be Gatch and Henry Paul. You may kind of like Gatch.
Really?
Yes.
Right. In the past, Madam VA, I voted in favor of all the claims for the except I would abstain from the one item in there, the check that was issued to the Bucket of Blood Swoon.
Right. So that's what we're doing now. So you're not any part of it, correct?
You should watch the fuck out.
By abstaining, so then it would go to Lance.
Well, I would abstain just from the one item.
Right. Which we're doing on 15, correct? Isn't that what it is? So then, if you're abstaining, then Lance would have Gap as the vice chair. Look at that.
We have not done that in the past. Our legal counsel in the past under Mr. Maddox had said as long as any one of these commissioners makes it clear that they're going to abstain on an item, that should they be in the position Chairman McBride is, he can still run the meeting. He will just abstain on the vote.
All right, so we'll do that today, but I'm going to look into that a little bit further.
Okay.
So, because you know he seemed to be bothered by it, but I'll look into that a little further.
Okay.
So I made the motion on the approval. Does that still stand?
Can I second?
So I'm looking for a second.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, you're looking for a second.
Right.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Abstained from the one item. Check for the budget board.
Okay.
Motion carries. Okay. You need to get going?
I do. I have to excuse myself.
At this time, how about if I move on to item number 12 now for board comment? Do you have anything under board comment today, Commissioner Jones?
No, sir. I don't have anything to add.
Commissioner McGuffey, do you have something under board comment today?
My apologies for leaving the meeting, but we have a wonderful opportunity for our county, and we're going to go.
And I will see you as shortly as I can, Commissioner Brown, for
I also have nothing under board comment today. Go right ahead.
Maybe it's been done before, but I don't recall hearing it. I do want to say, extend a thank you to CMI for their assistance with the sweeper and with the reservoir. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, we're going to move back now to items number 10 and 11. And Mr. Gallagher, back to you now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our County Assessor, Janice Eaton.
Good afternoon. Okay. On the budget, we have, we did not budget anything for overtime as we were
told not to in this budget. And unfortunately, we had someone out on FMLA for 3 months at the beginning of last year, which kind of pushed us way far behind on a lot of our appraisal work. So unfortunately, we have, per NRS, have time constraints to have the tax roll closed. So in December, we had quite a bit of overtime, which hopefully that will correct itself, as now we have another appraiser and she is currently being trained, and so we hope to not have to have any of these overtime issues anymore. Further down in my office supplies, this report currently shows 102. Unfortunately, there's several items that IT purchases, which are like our Go to My PC and some of our computer backups and stuff like that. Since I'm the only one, these items were supposed to go to tech fund. They're supposed to be budgeted out of my tech fund, but when IT purchases them, they do not have access to budget to my tech fund, so they always put it into my office funds. So currently, I've already turned everything in, and it should be coming out and going into my tech fund budget, which will drop it down to 78% instead of the 102 for office supplies. That being over a little, but we've already purchased our expensive items, such as our forms for this year, so there shouldn't be any more expensive items coming out of our office supplies. If you look down at printing, we're at 97%, but that's a one-time fee that we do when we print the tax roll through Silver State Industries. That happens in December, so there won't be anything else coming out of that one for this year. The same way with our assessor, Marshall and Swift, costing books. We purchase those every February. That's just a one-time fee, so nothing else will be coming out of that item. I'm not exactly sure why we're only at 11% for rents and leases, because that should be my copier. So, and that's something that I'm not real sure. I believe that I'm not sure if Jesse or IT actually does that, but that's the set fee, so I'm assuming that will be corrected by the end of the year, that budget item as well. Training is at 35%. It's a little under, but as I said, now we have a new person in our office. You'll see an increase in that at the end of our next budget, as Samantha, who's our new administrative specialist, but is taking classes and courses to become an appraiser. So you'll see an increase in that coming up. Auto maintenance is about the same, because I reported on this last time, as we ended up having to have a windshield replaced in the new vehicle. I think the windshield is a rock magnet, because it is currently now over at Public Works to have a chip fixed in the new windshield. I was not driving it this time, I might say. Uniforms is the same as what it was at the last budget meeting on this, as I reported previously. With the addition of a new appraiser, we had to order shirts, and also our outside appraiser, Mark Stafford, I bought a couple of shirts for him so that when he's out with Tesla, they will know who he's representing. Professional services, you'll see that will come up, because we've already, they'll show in the next budget cycle as well, because we had our boards of equalization, which will be in this next budget, and then also we will have new construction. That will come out of that. We might still be a little under, as this year we did not have any industrial County Board of Equalization cases. Everything was able to be taken care of outside of the actual County Boards of Equalization. I believe that's the first time in probably 6 years that that's happened. And as we know, the capital outlay, that is the purchase of the county Jeep that we now have for our office. We gave our Toyota RAV to the fire department, which was in really good condition. However, it seemed better served for the inspectors with all the driving they're doing up and down Geiger Grade into the industrial park. Much better gas mileage for them, and also the RAV did not allow us to get to certain places. It didn't have enough clearance to get to some of the places we need to get to do our assessments. So it was a win-win situation for both departments. Tech fund, we're at 100% on the professional services, which is the $40,000 that I pay out of the tech fund, out of the $55,000 for the GIS services, and that's just a one-time fee. And I believe
that's pretty much it. Anybody have any questions?
Awesome.
Pardon?
And your revenues are awesome at 110%.
Awesome. Yay. Any other questions regarding the budget?
Okay.
I do also want to say that it looks like that the week of September the 14th is going to be a very busy week. We are also holding our assessors conference. That'll be Monday through Friday in conjunction with, I believe it's the economic development. It's not in conjunction. They'll just be going on at the same time. So it will be a very busy week. We'll have the Nevada Assessors Association conference. We're probably expecting about maybe 75 people, possibly 80 coming in for that conference. And then I believe Sherry said that they're expecting about 50 for the other one. So it'll be a busy week. We will be starting next week. We'll be starting the reappraisal of the Lockwood mobile homes. So we'll be out and about doing that. And then shortly after that, we'll be doing new construction. So that's it.
Thank you, Jenna. Justice of the Peace, Arrington.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. Eileen Harrington, Justice of the Peace. Going down the items where I'm, two items, or there's three items that stick out here. The one is training. And as you can see, we're way over budget on what I had estimated. And the reason for that is, in fact, the clerk that just came in, I was sending her to a class at UNR, and I had planned to do that in the fall semester. We upped that to the spring semester because of reasons for with her scheduling that came up. We put her in the spring semester at UNR, and so that was an expense that we had in this fiscal year instead of the next fiscal year, which I had planned. And, in fact, she just completed it this last weekend. For the last semester, she was working full-time and then going to school for 8 hours on Saturdays and 8 hours on Sunday for the course. So that's why we're over on that. And also, there's $595 in that training that will be submitted for reimbursement, and that's for a class that I just ended. I just finished that 2 weeks ago. So at the end of the fiscal year, we'll be at still over budget, but not as much as what's reflected currently. Going on to computer software, I addressed that at the last meeting, and that's a one-time expense every year, and that's why we're at 100%. But it's a one-time expense for the CourtView program that we have to pay every year to the state. And then on conflict attorneys, I also addressed that at the last meeting. That was for, in quarter two, we had some stale invoices dating back to 2008 for one conflict attorney. And we decided to go ahead and pay them. This conflict attorney has been offering his services to Story County for over 15 years. And this one incident came up where they had overlooked some invoices. And so we went ahead. I talked to Hugh about it, and we went ahead and offered those. But that kind of blew us out of the water there. So overall, we're at 72%. And those are my explanations. And if you have any questions... No.
Eileen, if I understand right, in the training, that course wasn't just a course at UNR. It was a critical course as paralegal, correct?
Yeah, and it's a great course for clerical support in especially a DA's office or a court office. And this one particular clerk is just wonderful, except she didn't have a lot of the background that I thought this course would help her in, and she says it's been very helpful to her. So we're really happy she attended. And, you know, going for over 8 weeks, working full-time and then going to school on Saturday and Sunday, and she did very well in the course.
And based on just something I saw flying around on social media, it looked like she successfully completed that.
Very successfully completed. I asked her what her grade was, and I think she, out of about 30-some-odd people, she was up on top of the class.
Great deal.
Okay.
Thanks.
Anything else? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge.
Chief Ames?
Thank I didn't quite get to say good morning, but good afternoon.
I'd like to start off with Fire District Operations Fund 250, and we're over in a few categories, overtime being one. Just information, we had one employee on catastrophic sick leave for the last 16 weeks. He just returned to us on the 13th, doing very well, cleared for full duty. He had a significant back surgery, but we're very happy to get him back. He's a 15-year employee, very valuable to our system. So that was a 16-week overtime expense. In addition to that, we've had six employees come off at different varying levels of their probationary periods, which has allowed them now to start applying for and utilizing vacation time. And we had two employees just complete a hazmat technician course. And the overtime wasn't for those employees to attend the course. The overtime was to backfill that time in which they should have been on duty. These employees just finished this course. It was 16 weeks, over 600 hours. I don't remember. It's like 630 hours of training to become hazardous materials technicians. And this is in cooperation with the Quad County Hazardous Materials Response Team. Our requirement is to have six employees on staff at all times for that agreement. We hadn't had that due to attrition over the last few years. We had four. This gets us up to our required levels of six. These employees did extremely well with this. As a sidebar, one of the employees has his bachelor's degree in chemistry. He was actually instrumental in some of the instruction, helping some of the students get through the chemistry portion of it. So that's our overtime. dues and subscriptions were over slightly, about $200 over. And that's just with the addition of Fritz coming in. There's some professional qualification groups that he's joined that we just didn't anticipate. Operating supplies were slightly over. Operating supplies are really, with the impact of the industrial stuff coming in, it's just costing us more money to do business, to be real candid with you. Paper, pens, that kind of stuff. Moving along, rents and leases, I think every department was probably over. James explained this last time. It's kind of a misnomer that it's a fixed price for our lease contract price. The base price is, but we have to pay additional fees for overages on copiers, and that's what that overage is. It's strictly due to copies. Lots and lots of copies coming through with more and more plans coming out. It's kind of... And I'll get to that at the end on how we're going to cover these. Auto maintenance is over. Hopefully this catches up by the end of the fiscal year. I will tell you that one of these big expenses was during the process of getting our ambulances re-chassied. You'll recall that I brought it to the board, but we had a $8,300 cost to dynamic diesel and emergency repair for one of our ambulances. If you'll remember, we only had an ambulance at Lockwood, the Highlands, and Virginia City, and no spares because they were getting re-chassied. So it was an emergency repair. Computer software, you'll remember last time that we were here doing quarterlies, we invested in an inspection module for our firehouse reporting master software program that was not budgeted, but we do have unanticipated higher than anticipated revenues or unforeseen revenues that will cover that. Building maintenance was over. Now, again, I explained this last time. We purchased a 40-foot storage container for our equipment cache out in the Virginia Highlands, and we were forced pretty much to replace some kitchen cabinets that when we went in to do the countertops wouldn't hold the weight, were completely rotted out, had to do that. Professional services, we're over on that, and that's kind of an interesting overage. We're one of the few areas, I think, probably in the nation that do plan review checks electronically. When we do plan review checks, we have to stamp every single page, and our overages are directly attributed to developing those stamps for Fritz as the new employee so that he could stamp those electronically. That's what that overage is due to. Computer equipment were over, and I brought this last time, had this approved through the county manager and comptroller, both for iPad to go with the inspection module so that we could keep up with the pace of doing business out in the field. This has actually increased their workloads in the field dramatically. It's helped us tremendously keep up the workload. The other thing was the workstation addition to fire station number 75. In this fund, we're at 73% expenses at 75% of the budget year. So I'm actually pleasantly happy with that at this point. Generally speaking, we're much higher than that because we're just still playing catch-up from expenses in the first and second quarters. And I mentioned as well that we had a lot of unanticipated revenue or higher than anticipated revenue that will come in and more than make this budget whole. So this budget, in the first time in probably the last 3 years, will have a positive ending fund balance, I'm sure. I think that should be good news for everyone. We've strived very, very hard to try to keep our costs down wherever possible to try to make up deficits from last year, and actually the last 3 years we've been in a deficit. So if there aren't any questions with that particular budget.
Excuse me, I'd like to just chime in before we leave that. I want to point out on revenues that the district already is at 88% of its revenues to date, and this does not include a large chunk of money. Once Tesla comes in and we true up what is owed, and the process is a little more complex, in essence, they have paid some monies, all of which have been paid or submitted through community development. So those monies are home-based in the general fund right now. Once we agree to everything, the ordinance is passed to agree, which is, I hope, still on target for the first meeting in May, then there will be an additional infusion from Tesla, and monies will possibly be coming from the GL, or at least significant amounts of money will be flowing into the fire department, because all this is retroactive back to July 1st of last year. And it was based on fire and building services provided out there that are going on even as we speak. So,
Craig, thank you for expanding on that.
Does that include all the changes? And when they change the design, is that part of the
agreement will provide for that in unique ways. I'll go over that with you individually, okay?
I'd be happy to answer any other questions on the operating budget. If there aren't any, I'll move on to the emergency fund, 260. There's been zero expenses out of that. Just to recap, the emergency fund is for anything that happens internally to the county or the fire district. We've had no expenses out of that fund, fortunately. If there aren't any questions, I'll move on to 270, mutual aid. This is an odd fund to try to explain appropriately. What we do is we swag this out. So we think that if we're going to go on 10 assignments, it's going to roughly cost us, say, $100,000 in salaries and benefits. Those are always different. So it really is a swag. It's money in, money out. That's it. So this budget right now, it shows that it's $5,718.71 over budget. And to try to give you the truer picture of that, we're over on expenses that much, $5,000 roughly, but we're over on revenue by $153,000. So hopefully that tracks. Did I explain that better this time, Hugh? That's a difficult one to try to explain. It truly is money in, money out. Anything left at the end of the fiscal year is transferred to the operating fund.
When you do that $100,000 number out, is that for accrued?
Primarily, that's for fuel, lodging, meals, overtime, and rolling stock charges. So, and that's budgeted into the operating budget for $230,000 in revenue each year. So if there aren't any questions on that, no? I was actually very pleased to be able to report to you on 250 looking so in such good shape. I'd like to move on just briefly, if you could indulge me, on staff reports. I mentioned the two hazmat technicians, and I just want to give them a little bit of acknowledgement. These guys, there were overtime costs to backfill their shifts, but they went for weeks and weeks on their days off, and they never were paid for this. So it's a commitment. It's a two-way street. They'll, of course, get incentive pay after they complete it, but all these weeks and weeks of training, they went on their own time, on their own days off. So I'm very proud of them. They did great. And now we're up to our parity level for our hazmat team members. Sherry just helped us as well get a hazmat IQS system in place. This is kind of the new regional and national norm of rapid determination if we can make entry into a hazardous materials environment or we can't, to affect rescues primarily. So that was all funded through a grant that Sherry worked through for us. Thank you, Sherry. Right now, we're advertising, and we've extended our advertising for intermittent wildland seasonal help. We have five people that have applied, and we need to fill about 9 positions. So we're hopeful that some more applications will come in. If not, we'll have to reevaluate how we're going to staff and deploy resources this summer. We're also advertising, or will be advertising in the next 30 days, to create a full-time employee hiring list. That's only to create a hiring list. I'm not filling any positions, so when you see that, it's just a hiring list. The two ambulances are back, the first two of three. One's been in service for 6 weeks, the other for 8 weeks, and knock on wood, no problems with those. And the third one should be back hopefully in the next month or so, and that will replace our three primary response ambulances. Hopefully our equipment maintenance fund will go down next fiscal year. It's been a nightmare, as you well know, and I've been so kind enough to approve funding for those replacements. Our engines are moving along well. If you ever have a minute and you want to take a peek at them, they're at ferrara.com, F-E-R-R-A-R-A. And you can go into new deliveries, or no, I'm sorry, in progress, and you can look at pictures of them being built. The cabs are all done. They're being placed on the chassis now. We're going to go back for the pre-paint inspection on the week of May 20th. The final inspection will be the week of June 8th, and we're hopeful that the first one will be here that week of June 15th or thereabouts. We have brought on one intermittent employee that just started last week. For the folks that have been around on the boards or in the fire service for the last several years, his name is Rich Harvey. Rich worked for Division of Forestry for 25 years, retired last December as the deputy state forester, so the number two position. I don't know why, but he's crazy enough to want to come and help us run our seasonal program. So Rich will be actually started on the 17th. He'll be working a couple of days a week, primarily until all the seasonals are on board, working on some grants. Getting into grants, we have an interim grant of about $64,000 to do 50 acres of fuel treatment in the Virginia Highlands. Probably won't start that till fall, but just know that we're working towards fuel reduction projects all the time out there. We're in the process of trying to write another grant to hopefully get some synergy with some stuff that Sherry's working on for Six Mile Canyon for fuel reduction. The goal for us is to receive enough grant funding between the two to purchase an excavator that will have a mastication head. So we can do a lot of this work ourselves, and that'll benefit, I think, Public Works to have access to an excavator and us for fuel reduction programs. That's the highlights. Any questions? That's just a chipper, and that was through a grant process as well. Yeah, the mastication, it's a head that goes on an excavator. What we have now is just a chipper that you have to manually put in. So chippers are great for branches and up to 6-inch rounds. Masticator, I can do field reduction with all the sage and grass. So. Yeah, we're trying to receive enough grant funding to purchase the equipment. And once we have that equipment, we have personnel that can run and operate it. So it'll be a good 20-year piece of equipment that we can do field reduction with.
I'm sure you have a plan on what roads and what area you're going to work in.
We do.
Can someone call you and say, "Oh, if you're in my area, would you please investigate my property?"
You are in the Highlands, right?
Yeah.
They don't like us. No, I'm just kidding. No, they can. No, we absolutely will do that with our fuel reduction crews over summertime. Just give us a call. The problem is we're really struggling with timing, with getting the grants and not running out of seasonal hours per year. Right now, we ran out of seasonal hours, so we can't do any fuel projects, even though we have fuel grant monies. So we may be coming forward with a different staffing model and proposals to look at that in the future so that we can do that year-round. Because we have to wait for the first freeze to do anything significant.
Well, if you have the money but not the manpower, can't you go to the prison system to use those guys?
You can, but it's kind of interesting because NDF issues the grant. So their hands are kind of tied with using their crews because it's double dipping from the federal government perspective. Yes and no. To a limited degree, yes, but really no because they want some privatization mixed in there as well. it's interesting how you, the landscape is very interesting in that arena. So we're very careful on how we do it. Great, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The last one in the revenue area in the general fund is the comptroller's budget, which is running at 77% off the three quarters year end. The biggest thing that we're that my office has done is in professional services, which is about 6,700 over where it should be, or where we had thought it was going to be. A lot of this is due to some outside services for Tom Gransberry, who was doing some work with our SCCRT application, Department of Taxation issues with our property tax assess evaluations, some separate local government issues, and also some property tax rate issues. There was a firm called Mahoney and Associates that we had hired to do a central costing, which is taking all the costs of the administrative functions of the county and distributing them to those who are using those functions. And, of course, our AS400 administrator, Advanced Data Services, always has funds or always has additional increases for features and functions within their group. I will tell you that salaries and wages will probably go up before the end of the year because we have acquired another staff member. If you have any questions with that, I'll go through the rest of the funds. If not, the rest of the funds, emergency mitigation, equipment acquisition, cap projects and infrastructure, obviously have got their own plans. USDA bond fund is for the wastewater sewer plant and the structure engines and ambulances. Park fund, tri-payback fund are more or less in and out accounts. And, of course, our VC rail project fund, Commissioner McGuffey and I have been to at least one meeting, and their budget hearing is going to be next month. So with that, if there are not any questions as to the other funds, I had a direction with the, in closing, with the department heads this morning, and this gives us a pretty good opportunity because now we're on the last quarter. Actually, we're only 2.5 months away from the close of the year. It gives us a good opportunity to, for the current year, check those vouchers for reclassifications. There will be a lot of reclassifications, I am presuming, coming from the departments that have booked things in other accounts that they have now found that should have been more appropriately in another account. There are going to be those expenditures, which I cautioned them this year, that in going for what they believe they will going to order in June to expect for their budget in July, that will be moved forward to the appropriate budget line. And we are going to take a look at every single payroll period from now till the end of June, especially the overtime side, to make sure that all the overtime that has been indicated is really needed. We're going to ask a lot of questions of our department heads, so to make sure that we don't get that into a spot where we don't where we feel pretty much uncomfortable. So with that, that's our third quarter revenue versus budget versus expenditures review session. If the commission has any questions overall, I'll be glad to take
them. Mr. McGuffey, was there ever a letter submitted or a request for that $100,000 from the DOT?
Yes, sure did. The next day.
Okay, thank you.
Staff have anything to add?
No, we'll let it go at that.
Okay. That concludes 10 and 11. We're going to move on now to item number 13. Discussion only, no action, no public comment. Discussion and direction to the staff regarding legislation or legislative issues proposed by legislators or by other entities permitted by the Nevada State Legislature to submit bill draft requests or such legislative issues as may be deemed by the chairman or the board to be of critical significance to Story County. Specific bills will include AB 417, AB 427, which staff has expressed opposition. And of course, both those bills are dead, and so.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, and respectfully, even though we have listed this as no public comment, since we have specified bills AB 417 and 427, I would ask that if anybody in the public wants to comment on those two bills specifically and only those two bills, that they'd be allowed to, similar to what we did at the last meeting. Probably the big news is while we were grinding through the quarterly update, I received a news alert from one of the news stations saying that the Senate this morning passed the governor's business license fee tax. As far as the Senate, it needed a supermajority in the Senate, which is a 14-7 vote. It got a 17-4 vote, so now it is off to the Assembly, where it will certainly have an interesting path. We'll see how that goes as opposed to the Assembly bill. There really are no substantial updates from the last time I reported, other than to say there are two deadlines that are critical to the process. One has now passed, and that was on Friday, April 10th. That's when all bills had to be out of their committee of origin unless they were granted an exemption, and there are a bunch of those that get granted an exemption for various and sundry reasons, primarily because of fiscal impact, but I think that's at the discretion of leadership of both the majority and the minority, as I recall. April 10th was a big day, and actually today is a big day, April 21st. All bills have to be out of the chamber of origin, again, unless they were exempted in the process. And keep in mind that just because bills don't get out and don't survive doesn't mean they can't come back as part of another bill. So with that, I'll speak first off to AB 417. That failed to get out of Assembly Committee on Government Affairs. So we can, as much as one can, given what I just mentioned, consider that dead. However, we have been told that advocates for that bill, this is the Story Washoe Boundary Bill that was going to extend yet another 2 years, allowing this commission and the Washoe County Commission to consider changing the boundary lines in the Sunny Hills project area. So that bill is dead, but it's still being watched to make sure it stays dead. AB 427, same story. Again, it did not clear committee on government affairs in the Assembly after both Comstock Mining, I'm told, and Story County approached leadership there and asked for that bill not to proceed any further. And so we do not have to worry about that one, I'm told. Others of interest, the AB 182 is a collective bargaining bill. It did pass its committee with an amendment. AB 364, the Secretary of State portal bill, I'm told it was amended. I have not yet confirmed that. The amendment we're seeking is to make sure this is where everybody gets a one-stop shop for their business licenses. We want to make sure that participation is at our discretion and not mandated. The reason for this is, again, both costs affiliated with necessarily being able to interface in with their systems, and probably more importantly, we, along with at least one other jurisdiction, will not renew business licenses if people are delinquent on any obligations to the county. And Secretary of State has not been able to give us any assurances that their systems are compatible with that. So we're watching that, making sure that the amendment stays in. SB 95, publication of tax rolls, that passed the Senate and was moved over to the Assembly. SB 108, prevailing wage, that passed committee. believe it was SB 45 that was discussed last time on the conservation districts. Anyway, there are a couple of water bills that we continue to watch carefully, including the critical management areas. That would be SB 81. Excuse me. We're watching those. I don't have a updated status on that one. It's getting amended quite often, we were told last Friday before last. And SB 170 is the data center abatement. I testified on that sometime recently. And, you know, it has passed the Senate 21-zip and is now over at Assembly Committee on Taxation and Revenue, where it is having a bit of a bumpy ride. One of the bill's sponsors is asking a lot of questions, but I'm still confident it will go. If this bill passes, that is exactly what Commissioner Gilman alluded to, is companies like SuperNAP, which I'll read their business license here momentarily, and hopefully others will continue to consider Northern Nevada and possibly try. So,
prevailing wage bill was watered down to $350,000.
Okay.
There was a second collective bargaining bill, too, I think the one the sheriff testified on. It looks like that was amended to exclude law enforcement.
It's my understanding, yes.
There's a bill in there to maybe work on property tax also, which they would change the formula that they're doing now. There's a... There's still a bill in there, too, to give elected officials pay increases statewide, including county commissioners, 3%. It'll probably get there. There's a PERS bill out there, too, to try to overhaul the PERS system. It'll probably die. Commissioner McGuffey?
On the... the bill trying to get raises for elected officials to take on the county commissioners, who are shooting the NACO board will shoot for 13% for a first initial raise and then be 3% after that. And they're trying to set it up so the commissioners aren't giving themselves a raise. They're trying to bundle this up with all the other elected officials.
And that would be Senate Bill 482, and I apologize, I forgot to highlight that one. That has passed the Senate, so now it's over on the Assembly. So.
Anything else on this item, Commissioner McGuffey?
No.
Pat?
I'm good, thank you.
You anything on that? Okay, let's move on now to community development and planning. Item number 16, possible action licensing board second readings.
Looks like I'm at Story County Community Development. Asks that you approve items listed on your agenda A through L. I will read those specifically, and these are to be approved. STEM LLC, doing businesses, the Canvas Cafe, Fleet Team Inc., Meridian Surveying and Mapping Company, Next Generation Drywall, Rock Tech Corporation, this is a tri-based business, Associated Crane, tri-based business, SuperNAP of Reno LLC, that is another name, doing business at Switch, Fletch Line Inc., a contractor, TF Roof Services, doing business as Affordable Roofing, Dent Be Gone, a home-based business in the Highlands, Daniel J. Caravallo, doing business as VC Bling, a Virginia City-based business, and Sierra Coast Roofing, all to be approved, A through L.
Okay. We get a motion to approve A through L on item 16.
I'll make a motion to approve.
I'll second the motion. We move to second to approve A through L. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And motion carries.
And community development asks that you continue items M and N listed as Ionics LLC and Rich Doss Inc. to be continued.
Second your motion. The move to second. Continue M and N of item 16. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And the motion carries. Moving along now to item number 17, public comment. Ms. Bard.
Hello. Nicole Barb, Story County resident. This weekend, the 1 Acres went to get some water with their water truck, and I wish Mike were here, but and were told that they couldn't get it because of water rationing. Then, yeah, that was news to them, and then Mike showed up because they were there about 7:30, they were early, and essentially said that, and he covered this as part of his staff update, but I don't know that he said this. He said that, you know, like you said, he had that meeting with the other counties talking about water, and he talked about, in here, turning off your faucets and not watering and so on and so forth, and that's fine. I think we all need to do that. But the 1 Acre person who went to get the water came away with a much different impression, that water conservation / rationing is actually going to start happening. He was not allowed, as I believe they have been doing for a long time, allowed to buy the treated water. Mike, thankfully, said, we'll let you take the untreated water, but you can't take it till May. And so my question is there going to be, is this the first step in actual pulling back on the amount of water that both residents, whether they be, you know, in BC in particular, or industrial business, or in our case as the Highlands, you know, we need that water for our roads. Is that one step in future steps that is going to be cutting back? What's going on there? Because, again, he did not mention this particular incident in terms of water rationing. He said, we need to do a little bit of conserving. So my question is, why weren't we allowed to get the water we typically get? And getting the untreated water makes sense to me, and that's fine. But will that also get cut?
Can you elaborate a little bit more? Was a water truck taken from the Highlands to Virginia City? Is that the deal?
Yeah, we have our own water trucks. So, you know, it's a regular thing. We come here, we buy the water, we go do whatever we do. And he wasn't able to get it where he usually gets it. Mike redirected him to the untreated, which I don't know why we're using treated water on dirt anyway, so that's not my question.
Yeah, and without Mike here, I don't know if he was directed to untreated. We could have had some type of capacity issues in the treatment facility or storage. You know, you have to look at what's untreated as that's the stuff coming off the Marlette system, the stuff that will ultimately need to be rationed because that's the source. But then after that your person was redirected to, it goes through the processing plant and comes out as treated. This is speculation and guess. If they were allowed to get untreated but not treated, then we may have had some brief processing issues inside the treatment facility that were limiting our capacities to do this. I'll be candid with you. I know both on water and sewer side, our crews have been surprised, pleasantly surprised, I guess, from the business community standpoint, as to how great these summer Saturdays and Sundays are. I mean, they can definitely catch a system off guard like that. And again, that's speculation. I don't know. I heard Mike's information this morning, the same as everybody else. There's nothing serious about the treatment facility that I know of. It's probably over the next 2, 3, 4 months, we're going to have to conserve more and control. But I can check with Mike.
Okay. Again, capacity constraints, I understand. It's not a criticism. Is this the first step in pulling back on water? Yeah, that's all.
And I don't have that answer today without Mike. He's never spoke specifically to it. But I would also tell you that if this is dust control, which obviously it is, or you wouldn't be loading in that type of truck, if this is dust control, you should be picking up untreated water all the time.
That's what I'm saying. Why would we pick up treated water? So whether we get it treated or untreated, I don't care, as long as we're able to continue to get it. Not that we're more important than people drinking water. I'm just saying, is this first step in further pullbacks and further constraints, if you will, on water?
I might add, too, that might be one of those that we just want to quietly ask about and not raise the issue too large, because the Franktown decree is what gives the VC water system its water, and its boundaries are specifically identified in that decree. And Highlands is outside of that, so we have to be very, very careful.
Is CMI part of that decree?
CMI is, because they're within the confined definitions of the decree, yes.
All right.
So.
Thank you.
Any other public comment? Hearing none, this meeting is adjourned. Okay.